Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father, we are grateful and thankful for a season like this and a period like this. Holy Spirit, we adore you, we welcome you, we yield to you. Have your way amongst us. This is your church. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord and please be seated. Are you glad to be in church today? We just finished a series of messages on offense. And today I want to begin sharing with you a new series. And we are sharing from our prophet's book, The Mega Church. The Mega Church. Hallelujah. If you have that book with me, if you have the latest edition, which is the second edition, it is chapter 8, is where we're sharing from. And if you have the old version, the first edition is chapter 9. And today we want to talk about fight for commitment. Fight for commitment. Hallelujah. Fight for commitment. Amen. Is it necessary and is it important that we fight for commitment? Amen. I am fighting for your commitment and you must fight for my commitment. And you must fight for your commitment. Hallelujah. Fight that you become a committed member of the church. Amen. Now, committed members are the building blocks of any large church. When you see a large church, when you go to any church, you see a really large, strong, and stable church, what you are going to see is a large number of committed members. Hallelujah. And so the key to increasing in size, the key to increasing in the size of a church is to have more and more of very committed members. More and more of committed members. Hallelujah. Commitment is a very important aspect of working with God. Amen. In the building of the church of God, commitment becomes very vital. It's very, very important to have members who are committed. Is it consider that you are building, for instance, you have a project and you are building, and you lay some bricks or blocks, building blocks, you lay them, say you decide that every day you lay about 100 blocks. You put them on after you've laid a foundation. Now you are putting up 100 blocks every day. So at the end of the day, you look at your work, you look at the project, and you see that it has come up to a degree. Isn't that so? And you'll be very happy to see how it is progressing. Now, supposing you come the next day, and then you realize that every morning after you have put 100 blocks, 100 bricks, 70 of them have been stolen. After you put 100 blocks, then they take 70. Then you put 100 blocks, and then they take 70. Now you're going to realize that the project is still going to go up, but a much slower rate. It will take a long time to complete the project. Isn't that so? So how would you feel if your project is like that? How would you feel to see that you lay 100 bricks and then 70 are stolen? Amen. The building will bring frustration. It will bring disappointment. Isn't that so? It will make you angry. Hallelujah. And that is how it is with the church also. In the building of the church, we will see that you build and build, and some will be gone. You build and build, and some will be gone. So in the case of the church, the building blocks are the church members. The ones that stay are the committed members. The ones that are stolen or the ones that are gone are the non-committed members. Members who are not committed to the building. Hallelujah. So in order for us to develop commitment, in order for us to be committed members, we must know how it is to be a committed member. And we must know the different levels of commitment. Isn't that so? The pastor must know the different levels of commitment of each member, and the members ought to know what is the level of commitment. You should be able to tell, what is my level of commitment? Hallelujah. Because depending on your level of commitment, you are either about to be displaced or you remain. Hallelujah. Or you don't understand what I'm sharing with you. So, in a large crowd, a church with a large number, you are going to see a component of committed members and another section of non-committed members. Hallelujah. So we must press for the highest level of commitment. You must press to have the highest level of commitment. Hallelujah. If you are going to remain a member of the church, if you are going to experience the glory of the church, you must press for the highest level of commitment. Hanging on loosely is not commitment. Amen. Amen. I expect the highest level of commitment from each one of you. Amen. So ask yourself today, what is your level of commitment? Do you even know the different levels of commitment? Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, what is your level of commitment? Amen. So here, Bishop gives us four main types of commitment. And we are going to share about four main types of commitment. Hallelujah. Four main types of commitment. Number one, the first level of commitment is the fair weather commitment. Fair weather commitment. Now, this is the lowest type of commitment. Fair weather commitment. It is the lowest type of commitment, lowest level. Now, this consists of those who are committed when things are going on well. These are members who flourish when things are going on well. When the weather is nice. When everything is nice. When the church is rich, when there's a lot of food. You know, I remember there was a time in the church, there was a season in the church where we were having food every Tuesday evening. Every Tuesday evening. There was abundance of food. And the midweek service was becoming larger than the Sunday service. Because when you go home, when you come to church, you'll be full and then you go home with some more. It was amazing. Oh, can it happen again? Oh, we should. It can happen again. We can happen again. May the Lord have mercy on us. It can happen again. So the Bible says a rich man has many friends, but a poor man does not have many friends. Proverbs 19 verse 4. It says, wealth maketh many friends. Wealth makes many friends. But the poor is separated from his neighbor. They push you away. It's not a good thing to be poor. There is no advantage, only one advantage. Only one advantage. It makes you humble. But even that is a conditional humility. It's not true humility. It's not real. Amen. Have you not seen proud poor man? Poor but proud. And they will tell you, I'm poor but proud. Amen. Bishop relates here. He says, when I started out in the ministry, I had few friends. When the ministry became large and successful, many people claimed to be my friends. Many spoke of imaginary assistance that they gave me in my early days. Senior ministers have sworn that they never said any negative things about me. Although I know they did. When things are not going well, people don't want to know you. But when the sky is clear, they all claim to be your friends. Amen. That is fair weather commitment. Now, fair weather church members are people who are committed only when things are going on well. Only when things are well. They form the crowds that come when the church is flourishing. And when the church is successful, these are fair weather committed members. Such people fall away whenever there's crisis or whenever there are problems in the church. And I personally experienced a classic form of fair weather commitment during the COVID-19 season. COVID taught us a classic example of fair weather Christians. Hallelujah. Right after the COVID, the members that remained, that we saw, were the members with the highest level of commitment. Wow. Highest level of commitment. Wow. The members that nothing could move. Amen. They came here wearing masks, all kinds of things, some wearing screens, some wearing all kinds of things. But these were high level committed members. But the fair weather committed members, they were gone. They were vanished. Amen. So if you are building a church, you want a mega church, you want the members to be committed with the highest level of commitment. Amen. Fair weather committed members are not building blocks for any stable church. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening? So we cannot rely on such people when building a mega church. People with fair weather commitment are usually not aware of their low level of commitment. Sometimes people are not just aware. They don't know that their level of commitment is to this degree. That is why we have to teach. That is why you have to know. Amen. Michelle, are you cold? It's a good thing, isn't it, so? To be cold in the summer. It means the Lord has blessed you. Wow. It means the AC is working. You are blessed powerfully. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes people don't know their level of commitment. And so we have to teach. We have to preach about it. You have to know your level of commitment. So once again, ask your neighbor, are you a fair weather committed Christian? Amen.
Are you with us only when things are nice?
Number two, the second level is a situational friendship commitment. Situational friendship commitment. So the next type of commitment is what we call the situational friendship commitment. Now, friends are committed to each other to a certain degree or some extent. When you have two friends, they have some commitment to a certain level. There are also two levels of commitment between two friends. Within two friends, there is a situational and non-situational. Between two friends, there's a situational friendship commitment and a non-situational friendship commitment. Hallelujah. Amen. There are two types of friends in the world. There are friends who are friends because of the situation. They are friends because of the circumstances. Amen. There are relationships that are based on the situation. Are you listening? Even children can relate with their parents based on a situation. Let them have some jobs and some money, and then you'll know what the real situation is. So what you call my dear daughter, my dear son, is just situation. That you cherish so much. Let them have a small job. Amen. When you call them, they see your phone call, and then they turn their phones like this. But when the situation is not favorable, they need you. So in the world, even between friends, there are different types of relationships. Sometimes friends happen to be friends because of the situation. For instance, when you went to school, you know, some people became your friends because you sat in the same classroom for many weeks, sometimes many years together. You were sitting in the same classroom together, and it so happened that you became friends. You will even notice that you were more of friends with the person who was sitting with you. You sat with this person in class for many years, and that person was your friend. If you were one of those people who sat in the front row, those would be your friends. You may not even have any relationship with the people who sat in the back. So the situation created the friendship. And you will notice that there were some of these friends that once you stop seeing them, there was no relationship. When you go on vacation and you go home, they are not the type of friends you call or you hang out with. But when you come back to school, the situation creates a friendship again. Sometimes you have a friend that you eat with in school. You eat with, you do everything with, but it's just a situation. You share, sometimes because of the work that you help the person with, you know. You help with the homework, you help write the paper, you help with a test. The person can cheat from you. And so you are a very good friend. Amen. Sometimes some people will sit with another person, and every question they get wrong, they also get wrong. And everyone they get right, they get right. And there were some people who were very, very wicked. They want to be the high. They want to top the class. So in the beginning, they choose wrong answers. And they see that you are copying. You are copying. And then you copy the wrong answers. And then when you are not looking, then he switches the answers. So you say, as for us, in 10 minutes, we are done. You finish because you're sitting with this smart person. And then you take your paper. And then he sits down and change all the answers. What a friend. And then you come and ask, what happened? How much did you get? He says, I got 98. How? How? How did I get a F? And then you don't understand why. He says, but how? We did the same thing. So situation creates friendship. Hallelujah. Situation creates friendship. Some people are only committed to their church when the situation permits. They may live near the church, and so the church becomes their church. Some people are in the church because the church is the closest church. If another church comes that is a little closer, they will go to that one. But there are some that are not like that. Amen. So we may have many people in our church, but they are only members because of their circumstances. People may be in a church based on their circumstances. Such people are not relied on. Hallelujah. I have seen many such people pass through the church. Many. People who come into the country and they have no grounds. Do you understand when I say no grounds? They have no grounds, and then the church becomes their everything. I don't know if people advise them, when you go find one of those church, and it's amazing. And be a member. The church becomes their everything. The church becomes their source of free accommodation. The church sometimes becomes a source of money. We give them money. You may never know. Source of food and clothing. Winter jackets to keep you warm. The church becomes the source of all these things. Sometimes the church becomes the source of job resources. Career training. The church becomes free career training. Training that people are paying thousands of dollars for, the church affords that for free. And we plug them in. You say, here is one of our members. Help him. Help her. Why not? Are you listening to me? Circumstances. The church becomes a source of free medical consultation. Free. Sometimes free treatment. The church becomes a source of free legal advice. Legal advice. Go and see this one. See this person. And you'll be sorted out. Are you listening? The church becomes all of these. Now, while they need all of these things, they appear to be very committed members. While they need these things, they appear to be committed. They are at every meeting. They join ministries. And they're doing things in the church. So if you're a pastor and you don't know these things, you get excited. Wow, look at these people. They act very spiritual. They are not spiritual at all. I'm telling you. Or you have not seen what I've seen. I'm preaching some. You have not seen some before. So once they feel that they are established, Once they feel that situations are okay, situations have changed, then they take off. They take off. Sometimes they don't even say bye-bye. Oh, I'm going to Ohio. Hey, what about the church? Oh, I have a job in Ohio, and they will call you from Ohio. Rev. Oh, sorry for left. I am in Ohio. Hey. You have not seen some before. I'm preaching some babe. Let me go to Ohio and preach to them. I can recall many, many, many situations like this. I have seen many, many, many occasions. Sometimes they become really some way that they are having issue in their home, in a relationship, and you can't even talk to them. The same people. Situation. So we must press for the higher commitment. Aim to get the highest commitment. Hallelujah. As a pastor, I want you to have the highest commitment to the church, the highest commitment to me, and I'll be committed to you as well. Amen. So that is situational commitment. Amen. Now the next level is a non-situational commitment. Hallelujah. They are members who are committed to you irrespective of the situation. Some of the children, they are in a church because of their parents. That's situational commitment. If the parents are not there, they will not be here. But as a Christian, as you are growing, you have to have a relationship, a committed relationship, personal committed relationship with God, irrespective of your parents. I admire one group of children, whether their parents are in church or not, drive long distance, they are in church. They are in church. That is how you ought to be, to have a personal committed relationship with God. That does not depend on your parents. Amen. So members who are committed to the church, members who are committed to the church, that is what we are looking for. Members whose commitment is at the level of the highest is what our goal is. Amen. Fair weather and situational friendships are of no use to the church. And they are of no use to God. When God wants to build a church, such people are of no use. Amen. So that is why we preach about this. So the third one is non-situational friendship commitment. Non-situational friendship commitment. So when your membership has graduated to this level, then you are the kind of member who is not moved by hurts. You are not moved by separation. You are not moved by conflicts. You are not moved by distance. These are the members, it doesn't matter where they move to. They are still members of the church. Are you listening? They are not moved by hurts or offense. They are not moved by COVID. They are not moved by change, even if the pastor is changed. There are members of this church who have been here through many pastors, but they are committed members. Nothing has changed. As far as they are concerned, whether you are the pastor today or not, nothing has changed. They are still committed members. And that is the level that you want to be. Amen. Is somebody listening to me? Yeah. People that we can rely on. Non-situational committed members. We can rely on you. Your commitment is that of a deep friendship. Amen. It's that of a deep friendship.
You know, it is very painful when you thought someone is your friend and the person didn't consider you at all as a friend. It's very painful. Or you don't know. Have you not experienced that before? When you have poured out all your heart, you think this person is so committed to you, is your friend. And the person does not consider you as a friend at all. You open your home to this person, fellowship with this person, give all your out, all everything of yours to this person. It's a painful thing. Amen. So non-situational friendship commitment is not affected much by circumstances. It is not affected by circumstances. It does not, nothing changes that level of relationship. Nothing changes it. And when you are in a church, that is how you ought to be. Your commitment must not depend on the one who brought you to church. Your commitment must not depend on a pastor. Your commitment must not depend on the fact that you are a member or you are in this ministry. That you are the one that leads the song. And now that you are not leading, you can come late. You can come anyhow. Nothing matters to you. That is not the type of commitment. That is why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus. Because Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says, he is the one that was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He is constant. So if your eyes are on Jesus, nothing will make you change. But if you are here because of a friend, if you are here because of a relationship, you are here because of your children, you are here because of your parents, you are here because of a particular pastor, you cannot be committed. Because these situations will change. These situations change. The one that is your good friend for whose reason you are here today might not be your good friend. He may say just one thing, and will change the relationship. Should that change your relationship to the church and to Christ also? Looking unto Jesus, the one who never changes. Amen. The one who never changes. Hallelujah. You know, there's a scripture in Psalm 15, verse 1. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Do you understand the word abide? Dwell means not going anywhere. Wake up, brother. Before I come and wake you up. Why don't you shake your neighbor and say, wake up. Amen. It says, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? It's a question. Who? Who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who will be constant? Who will abide? Who will remain? And the Bible gives a list of the things that will make a person, if you continue. It says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. The next one, he says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. You don't backbite. Does that apply to you? Nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. The next one, he says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. When you are evil and you are wicked, he doesn't applaud you, he doesn't praise you. You are contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own head and changeth not, that is a person who abides. Sweareth to your own head, but you never change. Nothing will change you. Even the situation is hurting you. Even what you promised to do has brought you pains. You are the one that said, I will organize this. Their behavior, their talking, their way of doing things, refusing me, all kinds of things. What is that? What is that? Small, do this for us. Making life difficult. But that person has sworn, I have sworn, when they asked me to do this, I swore I will do it. And I will not change. He said, that is a person who abides in the tabernacle of God. That is a person. So, small thing and you are angry. Small thing and you are ready to pack. Small thing and then you are hot. Hot like iron. We can't touch you. You cannot abide. You cannot abide. Amen. I say you cannot abide. You know, it's like marriage. You know, when two people come together to live together as one, the only thing that is going to keep them in the relationship is you let your energy out. Do you understand? You let the energy out. You know, in chemistry, I think it's called entropy. Do you understand? When elements, ions react, the most stable compound, when they come together, the most stable one. Are you listening? I'm teaching you. The most stable compound that is difficult to break is the one who gives out a lot of energy. Science students, is it not correct? Are there science students here? They didn't learn that in the iron school. It's called entropy. Are you listening? So when the two elements come together, are you listening? And a lot of energy is released. They become very stable. Do you know why? Because now it means that to break those two elements, you need a lot of energy. You need a lot of energy. That is why humility is what binds people together. When you have gone low, when you have, you know, any friendship, if the friendship is going to really work, it means that the people have gone low as if they have no dignity. That is when people cannot break that relationship. It means the compound is strong. So the large amount of energy that went away, we have to put it back in order to break them. Does that make sense? So it means we have to break it with strength. That is why certain compounds, you can't easily break them. You need high energy. So let your energy out. Let it out. Be humble. And be a member of the church. Hallelujah. Bishop Nare is here. He says, I have friends I don't see often. For instance, one of my university roommates, Dr. Nosh, is a non-situational friend. That means he's my friend whether I see him or not. We live in different parts of the world, yet our friendship is not affected by distance or separation. I know he's my friend, and he knows I am his friend. He can depend on me, and I can depend on him. Like Jonathan and David, their friendship became a bond between them. Wow. Clap your hands together for the Lord. That is why I admire him so much. You know, He was the roommate of the bishop. Roommate. But he still sees him as a father. And receives him as a father. Do you understand? Do you understand the message that I'm sharing with you? He sees him as a father. And he receives him as a father. And the only way someone who was your roommate, sitting in the same classroom, hungry together, struggling for food together, seeing all the difficulties together, snoring together, and to be able to receive him as a father, it means that you have let the energy low. You have let the energy out. You have calmed down. That is how you form a bond. That is how you form friendship. To humble yourself. He says, like that of Jonathan and David, their friendship became a bond between them. A bond. When you let down the energy. Jonathan was the king's son. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 17, it says, and Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. This was the king's son. Are you listening? The king's son. David was a farm boy. When they brought him to the palace, they brought him from the farm. Jonathan was a prince. In order for him to relate with this man, he came to his level. He saw him as a brother, a prince, and a farm boy. No level, but he came to his level. You need humility to form a strong bond. You need humility. You need to calm down. You need a low level of energy if you are going to have a relationship. This pride will not help us. Are you listening? I'm teaching you something that will help you even in your marriage. Amen. So the next level of commitment. So how many levels have we learned so far? What is the first level? How many fair weather committed members do we have? How many? We don't have any. I love that. At all now. Fair weather commitment. Fair weather committed members, they come when they have slept well. That I woke up well. I slept well. Fair weather committed Christians, if they had anything to do in the night, they don't come to church in the day. If it is raining, they don't come to church. If it is snowing, they don't come to church. If the weather is too hot, they don't come to church. If the ride doesn't come, they don't come to church. You know, that's a fair weather Christian. If you are a Christian that waits for ride before you come to church, you are not a committed Christian. You are not a committed Christian. Because you don't wait for ride to go to work. You don't say that I didn't go to work because the ride didn't show up. Look, if we are not going to serve God and relate with our carnal lives, we will never be committed. We will never be committed. If you cannot relate like that and understand it like that. Amen. The excuses that we give to God. Let us try to give the same excuse to our bosses. You know, one day God got mad with the people of Israel when they were bringing him offerings. They're bringing him offerings. And they will look into their sheep and then they will watch and see the one who is limping. And then they pick that one. If they see that, you know, your eyes, you're going and then you hit the wall, you know, that means that your eyes are not good. They pick that one. So they pick the blind ones, the lame ones, and the ones whose, when the fear is shedding off, it's like they look sick. You're about to die here for the Lord. You see, if somebody does that to you, would you be happy? It's your birthday, and someone goes to stand at his ties. The ties. One day somebody sent me, gave me a tie for my birthday. It wasn't birthday or no, I think it was Christmas or something like that. And you could see that the tie has become a gift for many people. I say, wow, look. Would you wear a tie like this? You somebody gave it to you, you don't like it. You are giving it to someone. Pass through a lot of hands. You see? So they brought such gift to God. And God come and says, try giving them to your governors. Give these things to your governor, whether they will accept them. If we don't relate like that, God wants us to see the reality. There are certain things that we will never do or relate to our bosses and our jobs in a way. But we easily relate with God like that. He says, try this with your boss. If it doesn't work with your boss, it doesn't work with me. This lateness, come to church leisurely. I mean, people who come to church late, they're never late at work. Or is your habit? If it's your habit, change. Are you listening? We need God more than we need our bosses. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, we need God. Amen. So the final level of commitment, number 4, is a marital commitment. Marital commitment. So this is even the higher level of commitment. In marital commitment, the individuals are committed as though they are married. In marriage, there should be no thought of divorce, rather a spirit of permanence in marriage. We cannot consider divorce in marriage. It is not supposed to be a vocabulary. The Bible says, God says, I hate putting up or putting away. Marriage is a permanent situation. Hallelujah. So if you are someone who has a marital commitment to the church, then you have attained the highest level of commitment. This is the desired level of commitment. Hallelujah. We want every church member to be at this level, the level of marital commitment, that your relationship with the church is as though you are married to the church. Someone should say that to you. Are you married to the church? If nobody has said that to you, you have not committed enough. Amen. Your activities for the church, your the things that you do for the church, the way you relate with the church, somebody must say, is the church your husband or is the church your wife? Even your husband should say that or your wife should say that. Do you get paid for the church by the church? Do you see? That is the level of commitment you want to be, where your commitment is like marriage. Amen. In marriage, there should be no thought of divorce, but rather a spirit of permanence. Let us have a spirit of permanence. Hallelujah. There are no more options left in marriage. No more options. Once you enter, there are no more options. You are not going anywhere. Where are you going? Where are you going? You cannot decide to stay or leave. There's no such situation where you come and you are deciding, I'm going to stay or I'm going to leave. There should be no situation like that. You must stay. Simple as that. No matter what is happening, you are in for good. Hallelujah. There may be conflicts, there may be challenges, there may be disappointments, but this will have no ability to shake the commitment of a marriage couple. It shouldn't. Nothing should shake the commitment. Amen. And anyone who does not have this mindset, marriage is not for you. If you don't have the mindset of being permanent, then don't consider marriage. I'm telling you. Are you listening? I am telling you that if you don't have a mindset of being permanent in a relationship called marriage, do not enter. Do not enter. I strongly advise you, do not enter. Because if you enter and this is your option that you will leave, the outcome is horrible. I'm telling you. The outcome is horrible. That is why God says, when he has put two together, let no man, not you yourself, not here, not he, not she, not a lawyer, no one, not a king, not two elderly people from the family, no one. Like, bring my bottle of champagne and bring my this and bring my, I will take this. No one should sit down and allow that to happen because the outcome is a horrible thing. The outcome is horrible. Amen. It's a horrible thing. And people who go through divorce will not tell you the truth. What they actually go through, they will not tell you. It's a bitter outcome. It's a horrible outcome. Amen. You have a rough edge. You have a rough edge. Are you listening? You see? It's like a nice piece of paper. That when God put the man and the woman together, it's like you become very nice shape. You can be defined. You know? We can say it's a rectangle or a square or a circle. We can define it. We can measure the area easily. We can measure the perimeter. Isn't that so? You know what is perimeter. Do you understand? We can measure all these things. But when people go through divorce, when they go to court and the lawyer sits down and claim to have settled them, they don't use a nice pair of scissors and cut it finally that you go your ways. You are ripped apart. Do you understand? You are ripped apart. And when you are ripped apart, you are never the same. You have a piece of paper. Anybody can lend me a piece of paper. You don't carry books anymore. One. You see this? I believe you all can see. It's very small. I hope somebody would have had a big one, but we will make do. That's nice. Thank you. Disregard the holes, okay? Let's assume that there are no holes. You see, I believe somebody can describe this shape. What shape is it? It's a rectangle. What is the formula for a rectangle? For area of a rectangle. Length and breadth, you see. What is the formula? So when we want to measure the area, we need to just go from here to there. Isn't that so? And then we go from here to there. And then we multiply. Very easy. Isn't that so? Clap your hands together. What about the perimeter? What about the perimeter? How can we measure the perimeter? What is the perimeter? 2L plus 2B. And we get the perimeter. It means that when we want to get the perimeter, all we need is measure from here to there, and we measure from here to there, multiply this by 2, multiply this by 2, add them, and we have a perimeter. Clap your hands together. Wow. So now, when you get divorced, you see, they don't. You'll never find that they fold you nicely, and then they break you apart, and then you go your separate ways. Because when they do that, you can still measure. Isn't that so? But this is what happens. You go like this. There's no formula. Do you understand? So who can measure the area of this? I'll give you $100 if you, anyone who can measure the area, if you can tell me the formula for finding the area of this, I'll give you 100. Anyone? Is there anyone? Okay, so that's the woman, because she's on diet. And divorce has caused you to lose weight. And the man's girlfriend keeps feeding him. Okay. So now who can find the area of this? Anyone can find the area of this. You can't find the area. I'll give you $100. Anyone can find the area of this. You can't. You see, that is what divorce does to you. It makes you such that you have no formula. It makes you a complex entity that we can't deal with. You are not simple anymore. You have that rough edge. You see, there's a rough edge of you. And if you are going to join another person, you see, the Bible is so true. When God says that when I put two together, let no man separate. Because you are having a mind that I will leave this one and go and put together on the other side. Because the part that is ripped off is what you are now using now to go and join someone who is innocent and smooth. You have another paper? Smooth and innocent and coming in, never gone through divorce and coming in and want to join you, you see? And he's coming or she's coming with a very nice surface. But the experience that you have had is like that. And it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. You try. You struggle. It doesn't fit. It's a very difficult situation. We need the grace of God. We need the grace of God. That is why we counsel. We counsel, and what the counseling, what the word of God does when you have gone through that pain is that it smooths the edge. It smooths the edge. The word of God. It smooths it. Until you become good enough to fit in a marriage. Amen. But people are not truthful. Divorce is an ugly thing. It's an ugly thing. It says, when I put two together, let no man put asunder. The outcome is horrible. But people don't tell the truth. So we want your commitment to the church to be of that of a marital commitment. Hallelujah. Marital commitment is what we desire. Hallelujah. So like every relationship, like every marriage, we all have our challenges in marriage. We all have situations, happy times and not so happy times. Nevertheless, I never consider the option of divorce. That option has been ruled out by the word of God and by my level of commitment. Hallelujah. Nothing can and nothing should separate a married couple. Nothing. No situation, no condition. No, listen to me. No condition is good enough. No situation is good enough. It's strong enough to separate a married couple. No situation, no condition is good enough. That is why you do everything you can not to attract this thing. Hallelujah. And our commitment to Christ is at the marital level of commitment. The Bible teaches that we are supposed to be married to Christ. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be married to Christ. That means that this relationship is permanent. It's for good. Hallelujah. And no situation should change it. It's a marital commitment. It's the kind of relationship that nothing changes it. No situation or condition can change it. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. It says, Romans 7 and verse 4. It says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Hallelujah. We should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That is the only way you can bring forth fruit unto God. Are you listening? That is the only way, that's the only level at which you can bring forth fruit unto God. We're talking about fruit unto God. Godly fruits. Amen. When the commitment to the church rises to the level of marital commitment, the Bible teaches that we will begin to bring forth fruits unto God. Godly fruits. When the relationship gets there, the higher the commitment, the more the fruits. So it is only when a man and a woman have marital commitment that they can successfully bring forth fruits unto God. Church, are you awake?
Yes.
If you don't have that deep commitment, you are never going to be fruitful. Fruit bearing is for marital commitment. I'm talking about fruit unto God. You can bear fruit at other types of relationship, but not godly fruits. You don't understand the word of God. It is at this deep level of relationship that you bring forth fruit. So it is to your advantage to develop yourself, to make that commitment, to bring yourself to be committed to the level of marital commitment to the church. Because that is when you become fruitful to God. When God sees that you are now committed to him, to the level of marriage, that nothing moves you, nothing changes you, you are committed. No amount of money, no amount of salary will change you. You are still a tithe payer. And I mean tithe payer, tenth of your salary to God. When God sees that, when God sees that level of commitment, he makes you fruitful. He makes you fruitful. You will be at a job where people are fighting for raise and you are relaxed and it'll give you a raise. People fight for you and you get raise. I'm telling you, when God sees your level of commitment, he makes you fruitful. When God sees that you are not going, you are the type who abides in his tabernacle. You swear to your own head and change it not. Nothing moves you. No situation changes you. You become fruitful. He makes you fruitful. Hallelujah. He makes you fruitful. And this is the type of commitment that we expect from all of you, especially from leaders. People who are leaders. We expect a higher level of commitment. Hallelujah. We expect a higher level of commitment. If we say we are all doing this, leaders should raise up. They should lift that aim up and that goal up. Because your level of commitment reflects onto the congregation. We're talking about evangelism. Yesterday, besides the choir came for rehearsals and some came for evangelism first. It's embarrassing how many people were there for evangelism. And today, coming to church early to evangelize, we said, this is our season, as a reminder that we all evangelize. It's not of importance to you. When God sees that his things are not important to you, your things can never be important. I mean, you are like God. God made you in his own image. So if you want to see how God is relating, think of you. You are in the image of God. If people are not committed to you, the things that matter to you don't matter to those people. Would you be committed to them? You will not pour your heart to people when they don't care about your heart. That's as simple as that. Something that is so vital to God does not matter to you. It's not important to you. That he says that he gives power. He gives power. The disciples came to him. He says, all power is given to me. He says, Lord, are you going to now give us positions in the government? You are going to restore Israel, the nation of Israel to us? That they are looking for positions. That I'll be a senator. I'll be a governor. This one will be this. This one will be that. Since we've been following you and you are going to be the king. He says, no. When the power comes, this great power, when it comes, it's supposed to make you a witness. It's supposed to make you a witness. That is the purpose. That is the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit. To make you a witness. And it doesn't matter to you. To just be a witness. If you are a witness, people can take your witnessing or they will not. You are just a witness. You are not a converter. You are just a witness. People can accept your witness or not. Just witness. So you are offering your witness. They will decide to hear it or not. But you are just a witness. It is not your work to convert people. The Holy Spirit is the one who converts people. The Holy Spirit. Yesterday I saw a group of young ladies and they look very rough. But the Holy Spirit drew me and said, talk to them. And to my amazement, after our conversation, all three of them saying the sinner's prayer to give their life to Christ. I say it's the Holy Spirit that works. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Look, if we don't commit to the things of God, God cannot commit to us. He said to Abraham, he says, now that I know, that you will not withhold even your son from me. In blessing, I'll bless you. Then there's nothing that I can hold from you. I'll pour out my heart to you also. I'll make you a great nation. I'll make you a father of many nations. God did not even know what to do with him from then on. He says, now that I see that this is how you are. Until God sees that commitment, he can pour out to us. Amen. Does somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? So we need to raise our level of commitment. We need to raise our level of commitment. It is only then that we can bear fruit, that we can become fruitful. When the level of commitment is that of a marital commitment. A young lady will not release herself and flow into a relationship in a certain way, I mean a decent young lady, until there's been established commitment. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Until there's an established commitment that you have brought her before the Lord and you have sworn and said that I will love you, I will be with you until death do us part. And the moment you make this commitment and you put it on paper, you sign before God the man. I mean, before the pastor and before God. Then she's just releasing. She's just flowing. And that time she's ready to bear a son for you. That is when she becomes fruitful. Until it is a marital commitment. Church, let us rise up to marital commitment. This Lasagdesical type of relationship does not work with God. It does not work with God. But God is prepared to pour out unto us if he sees that commitment from us. Put your hands together for the Lord and rise to your feet. So what are the four levels of commitment? Number one, do we still have fair weather committed Christians? No more fair weather commitment in this church. What is the next level? Are you relating with us based on a certain situation? Are you with us because of your situation? Because of your conditions? No, we don't want that type of relationship. And what is the next one? Non-situational commitment. It's better than situational commitment, but that is not where we want to stop. We want you to relate with us non-situational, but what is the last level of commitment? Marital commitment. How many of you want to have the marital commitment to the church and to God? Let's desire to have that. Marital commitment. Nothing moves you. There is no divorce. We are not divorcing Christ. We are not divorcing the church. Hallelujah. Paul says something in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 38. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. That is how you want to be. He has named every possible thing that can separate us from the love of God. Every possible thing. And the one that we don't know, he says, not the things present or the things to come. Not your future behavior. We know how you are going to behave. We are coming to have Agabapto Fest. We know how you are going to behave. But it will not change us. It will not make us leave the church. Your talking will not make us leave. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord. Father, we are grateful and thankful. We bless your name. Holy Spirit, we thank you for speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, I want to give everyone here an opportunity. You are here. You are not born again. You are saying, "Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to welcome Jesus Christ into my life. I want to receive salvation. I don't want to go to hell if I die. And when Christ comes, I want to be with him in heaven." If that is your prayer, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, I want to pray with you. I want to share a simple prayer with you. If there's anyone here like that, you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone else here that wants to receive Christ as your Savior? Anyone, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here? Anyone, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior? Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life and salvation. Why don't you all say this prayer with me? Say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. I welcome you as my Lord, as my Master, and as my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen." You are the
word of God that gives. We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.